Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritis. Today is Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is Electoral College Map Math. As I have been stating, we would have this analysis, at least some of it, following the first debate. Of course, that was not a debate. That was a national disgrace. And I used harsher terminology yesterday, but I will refrain from using that kind of language on this podcast. We're all adults here. We can handle that type of language, but I would rather not sink to having to use that language. But unfortunately, yesterday's performance, showing by the President of the United States and Joe Biden to some extent, but most definitely by the President of the United States, it was just a national disgrace and an embarrassment. And the only winners were our foreign adversaries, and the losers were the American people, civility, and the American political process, amongst some others. Both of these men owe the country an apology. I doubt we're going to get it, especially not from the president. Joe Biden, he might, if he's pressed. I gave that type of scenario yesterday, and the next debate that comes up is a town hall. Maybe somebody brings it up and demands an apology for that first debate, which I hope takes place. I hope that's the scenario that unfolds. I think Joe Biden would apologize in that type of scenario if he was pushed or simply asked to do so. I don't think that President Trump would apologize. But he needs to, because that was a disgrace on so many different levels. And I really don't know how much more of this we need to see. For those of you who support the president or were on the fence, maybe supporting, wanting to lean towards supporting Donald Trump, I think last night's performance should really have you leaning the other way. Can the country really tolerate four more years of this? Because do you honestly think it's going to get any better? Because I would have to ask you, what evidence do you have to support that notion? Because if he wins re-election, he's not going to have to worry about being re-elected. You understand what that means? There's fewer limitations on some of his behavior and some of his instincts that might unfold over the next 4 years should he win re-election. I mean, I am totally anti-Republican and anti-Democratic Party. I'm against this two-party system. I have all the evidence in my corner. You have nothing. You're just on a team, and you want your team to win at any cost. And that's sickening. And that is what is destroying this country. That's what's destroying this American experiment. That is what is destroying our republic, because everybody just wants to win at any cost. And we are experiencing right in front of us the cost that we are all paying as a nation, as an American family. That is the true virus that is running through the veins of this country. It's the political decay, the economic decay, and the social decay. And clearly, Donald Trump is not the man for the hour. He's not even close. He shouldn't even be considered at this juncture. He shouldn't be. I told you, if you don't like Biden, that's fine. I'm not saying that you vote for him. I don't like him. I'm not voting for him. Even after last night's performance, I'm not voting for him. But I can understand why a lot of people would want to do so. Vote for Joe Jorgensen, the Libertarian candidate. Write somebody in. But how you can support and vote for Donald Trump after last night's performance, in addition to everything else, this was just sort of everything coming together in a 90-minute performance. Just a condensed version, all in one. How that can be supported is beyond me. So vote for Biden and vote for Republicans to check him. To check him and Kamala and the other Democrats if you're so concerned about the Democratic Party. Do that. That seems somewhat reasonable, because civility is on the ballot, and that really only exists with one of these candidates. Now, why did President Trump behave in the way that he did last night? Well, it could be that's just who he is. which is partially the case, was he simply attempting to demoralize the country and the electorate? Quite possibly, because once you find the snap polls after the debate and once you start listening to some of the various focus groups who were watching the debate and were interviewed by various pollsters and news agencies, people feel demoralized. They don't want to go out and vote. And Donald Trump needs a low turnout. You have to understand, he barely won in 2016. He barely won. The stars were aligned for Donald J. Trump in 2016. He was up against Hillary Clinton, a terrible candidate. I mean, just dirty laundry after dirty laundry after dirty laundry. Skeleton in the closet after skeleton after skeleton after skeleton. A very shady, quote-unquote, democratic process in the Democrat Party between Hillary and Bernie Sanders. It was basically a coronation of Hillary Clinton. You have this huge populist movement, this huge ground game, this huge grassroots effort and campaign on Bernie Sanders. It just gets completely demolished by the DNC machine and the Clinton machine, and it was her coronation. You had her emails. You had the Comey incident a couple of times. There were a lot of things that happened that moved in Donald Trump's favor. The country was sick and tired of the status quo. Hillary Clinton was a poster child for the status quo. She has been there. She has title. A lot of friends and family who supported Hillary Clinton, that's fine. Ask those people, well, what did this woman do? Couldn't answer you. They give you title. Oh, well, she was the first lady. She was a senator. She was Secretary of State. Yeah, I know. Everybody knows this. What did she do? Well, head scratcher, can't figure it out. Because there was no landmark legislation. A lot of things she tried as first lady failed. Scandal after scandal. And not a great track record in the State Department either, for that matter. So Trump had a lot of things in his favor in 2016. Turnout was not great. Another thing you'll hear, of course, is all of the polls were wrong. The polls were wrong, blah, 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 blah. Well, clearly you had some of the betting odds that thought Hillary Clinton was going to be the clear winner. That's understandable. But the polls weren't as far off as the Republicans and Donald Trump want you to believe. Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote. But that's not enough to get you over the finish line. You have to win the Electoral College. That's how it works. Donald Trump, in his campaign, understood that very well. They were flying and traveling all over the place, doing their rallies. They did the work, and they got the results. And it was only by, 70, 80,000 votes over the span of a few states that allowed Donald Trump to pull an inside straight on election night in 2016. And he became the president of the United States. This time is a lot different. People were willing to give him a chance in 2016. This guy is the outsider, at least that's how he marketed himself. We are sick and tired of the status quo. This guy is going to, quote unquote, drain the swamp. We're sick and tired of politicians. This guy's not a politician. He's a businessman. Yeah, we know he's got some shady business dealings and went bankrupt, but you know what? We maybe got to give him a chance. Let's see what he can do. Maybe he just understands how to play the camera. Maybe he knows how to play the media. And this is just a persona, that's all. It's not really who he is. This is just a character to get attention. Because in his eyes, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Surely, if he should win, the weight of the presidency, once he sits behind that resolute desk, would weigh on him and everything would sink in. And he would be this mature adult that could rise to the occasion to help get things done and to help unite the country, which was very divided then at the time as well. Well, that didn't happen, did it? And there's enough blame to go around on both sides, which is why I don't like these parties. You're not going to be able to put me in a corner, okay? Because I want them gone because they have destroyed this country and they are in the process of destroying it right now, okay? That has not gone away. But what we are seeing is that that is who Donald Trump is. It wasn't just a character. It wasn't just a persona. And if it was, he's grown into the role, and that's who he's now become. Hasn't flipped the switch. Hasn't risen to the occasion. This cannot stand. This cannot be tolerated for another 4 years. So he wants and needs low turnout. He knows this. So is he just simply attempting to demoralize the electorate? Because he knows his base, his people are going to come out for him. He has a low ceiling. But that might be enough to get him over the finish line if he actually wants to win. And that's another question. Did Donald Trump perform in the manner that he did because he wants to lose? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Now, Donald Trump likes to win everything at all costs. So it's not too likely, but there's no way that he would give up without a fight. So he's got to make it look, at least to his audience, that he's putting up a fight, even though in the back of his mind, he really doesn't want to be there anymore. Now, that's speculation. That's speculation. But as far as I'm concerned, those are really your options as to why the president did what he did. That's just simply who he is. He was attempting to demoralize. He wants or needs a low turnout, or he doesn't want to win. The other thing, maybe, is this now sets the bar extremely low for the president of the United States in the next debate in the town hall, because he did so horribly last night. The bar is extremely low. Like he set the bar extremely low for Joe Biden. Well, now the bar is extremely low for him. So it's not going to be that difficult for him to somewhat rise to the occasion and look better than what he did compared to last night. But don't fall for it, is what I'm trying to get across here. That's the point. Don't fall for it because he picked himself back up and he hit those key words that you want to hear and he put the circus show back on for you. And oh my goodness, he bounced back and this is the comeback of the year and everybody loves it. Now he's going to do it. No, he isn't. Do not fall for it again. You gave him a shot. This is who he is. The country cannot tolerate it any longer. And shame on the Republican Party for not coming out in full force in condemning this, that performance last night. The Republicans, let me tell you something. I don't care. Obviously, I'm not a Republican. I want these guys gone. But let's just be objective and put some analysis out there. If the Republicans lose this election across the board, this could be a generational swing. The Republicans could potentially be out of power for a significant period of time because they're not standing up to this guy at all. This is supposed to be the party of free market capitalism, constitutional principles, all that stuff, all that jazz, civility, morality, Christianity. Was there anything moral or Christian about last night's debate? Or is there anything really free market capitalistic about the policies that continue to be enacted under this Congress and under this administration? No. So what are you hanging your hat on here? So the Republicans, if they don't come out and condemn this behavior and they lose, they're going to be out of power for a long time. For a long time. And rightly so, because this is low-hanging fruit when it comes to actions that need and should be condemned, but they're nowhere to be heard, nowhere to be seen. And what they should do, but of course is not going to happen, this was like a snowball's chance in hell of occurring, but what the Republicans should do is get their act together, come out basically in one voice, and just say, we'll support Joe Biden. We'll sign some type of pledge, but do your best to vote for us down ticket in the House and in the Senate so that we can gain power there or have some seats there so we can have a divided Congress, cool down the temperature of the country. We've worked with Joe Biden before. We can work with him again. That's what we can do. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen. No way. But that would be something that could perhaps start to bring the country back together, because this debate last night clearly painted the picture that Donald Trump is going to contest any result that does not have him winning. And it's going to take weeks, it's going to take months to resolve. And in that process, in that time frame, what might the president do in order to distract the country? And if the country is that divided, that makes us an easier target from abroad for something to happen there, economically, from a cyber warfare standpoint, even from a hot kinetic war. Hopefully none of that happens. But when we're divided, it's much easier to control from the outside. We talked about this with the social nightmare when it comes to media, social media. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Just simply continuing with the propaganda, getting people further and further into their silos. It's easier to destroy a house divided than it is a house united. And I don't think that this president understands that, because it's just a continuous bombardment of the Democratic Party and the left. He is the president of the entire country. If he wants to be the president of the Republicans or his cult-like followers, then he should resign, and that's what he should go do. And he can con those people out of millions and billions of dollars, and he can live a happy, happy life. But to do it to the country for another 4 years just cannot happen. That was just a national disgrace. On the market front, ECB, European Central Bank, President Christine Lagarde was out now, and, you know, she's another windbag, praising inflation. Oh, yeah, inflation's good. We need inflation, and we're going to get on the bandwagon, and we're going to let inflation run hot here over in the European Union, too, because the Federal Reserve thinks it's a good idea, and by golly gosh darn it, so do we. So, to my European Union friends, are you ready to tolerate higher inflation? It's coming. Don't you worry your pretty little heads. Just like it's coming here, folks, and in many places, it already is. All right, so that's that. I'm not going to talk too much about market performance right now. I do want to get into the Electoral College. You can build your own map. I suggest that you do. It's a fun little exercise to get involved with the process a little bit. I went to Real Clear Politics, realclearpolitics.com. There's an interactive map. Click on it. Have some fun with it. That's all we're doing. If you simply look at Real Clear Politics based off of their ratings, based off of their polling and averaging all their polls together, just off of that, you have 226 electoral votes going to Biden. You have 125 electoral votes going to Donald Trump. And you have 187 electoral votes that are up for grabs. You need 270. There's 538 electoral college votes. You need, obviously, the majority plus one. Now, also according to this map, what would constitute the toss-up states are Nevada, Arizona, Texas, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Iowa. You also have the second district in Maine, which has one vote, and the second district in Nebraska, which has one vote. Donald Trump won the Nebraska vote in 2016. Hillary Clinton won that seat in Maine in 2016. So it's interesting that Texas is actually considered a swing state right now, because usually that's just a typical solid red state. But this is part of the exodus of people leaving states like California because of high taxation and Florida and going to some of these more tax-friendly states. And they're not just taking their butts and their Volvos to Texas and to Florida and other states like that. They're also taking their political views. So this country, these maps are going to change over time, and it's going to be a very interesting process. But with all those states mentioned, that accounts for 187 toss-up electoral college votes. Now, Donald Trump, as I stated earlier, pulled an inside straight in 2016, whereby he won Florida, he carried Arizona, he carried North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Now, a lot of those states are swing states. They're still up for grabs. They were swing states last time. Now, the question is, will the president be able to pull another inside straight? Because that's pretty much what he's going to have to do in order to win re-election. And again, I'm quite hesitant on this because people gave him a chance. He was the new face. He was the new kid on the block in 2016. He's not the new kid on the block this time. So is there Trump fatigue or people just sick and tired of him? Was the performance last night just the final straw? We're going to find out, obviously, in a month's time here. But these are just some things to ponder. Now, if you look at the Real Clear Politics map, but you take no toss-ups into consideration, this is how they view it. They view it being 353 electoral votes for Biden and 185 for Trump. So that would basically be just a clean house. That would just be a huge victory for the Biden-Harris campaign if this map comes to fruition. And this map, Real Clear Politics gives Nevada and Arizona to Joe Biden. It also gives Florida and North Carolina to Joe Biden. It also gives Pennsylvania and Ohio, Michigan and Wisconsin to Biden. Iowa goes back to Donald Trump. 353 to 185. That would be a pretty resounding victory for the Democrats, and that would be very difficult, I think, for Donald Trump and his campaign to challenge that, but, he will. So I don't know how resounding a victory would have to be from the Biden-Harris ticket for Trump to simply say, okay, I'm not going to do this for the betterment of the country. This was a resounding victory for Biden and Harris. I'm just going to bow out. That was it. We've seen this happen before. You've seen Al Gore do it in 2000. You saw Richard Nixon do it back in 1960 when he was up against Jack Kennedy. There's a time to put the country first. There was a time during Watergate when it was the Republicans who went into the Nixon White House, a Republican president, and said, Mr. President, you have to resign. We don't have that type of honor and integrity here in the halls of Congress anymore with these Republicans to walk in to the Oval Office and tell Donald Trump he has to resign or enough is enough. You got to stop this. Nobody has the spine to do it. So if a lot of prominent Republicans lose, I really don't care. I really don't care. They're doing this to themselves and they're doing it to the country in the process. But that, again, 353, 185, if all of those toss-ups are decided, according to Real Clear Politics. Now, having some fun with it, and maybe making it a little juicier, maybe making it a little more exciting, you understand the uphill battle that Donald Trump and Mike Pence are facing. Because, I'm going to go through a couple scenarios. Because even if you give Donald Trump, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Ohio, and Iowa, and that one district in the state of Nebraska, Trump comes away with 265 votes. That's not enough. He's five short. Biden would have 273. Now, that would be obviously close. That's only eight votes apart. And in that scenario, Donald Trump would most definitely contest it. Most definitely contest it. Now, on this map, Biden would win Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And that's all he would need. In addition to all of those other pretty much states that are locked up, such as California, pretty much all of the Northeast, and a couple states out west, such as New Mexico and Colorado. 273 to 265. And again, that gives Donald Trump Nevada, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, and Ohio, and Iowa. All right? So that gets a little bit closer. Now, if you really want to get close, this is the tie. This is the tie at 269, 269. Then you go to the House, and now it's going to be a frickin' civil war. 269, 269. And this is the year 2020. And I didn't just put this map together to come to this number. If you look at the map, this is a possibility. This isn't just for fun. This isn't just to say, oh, it's 2020. This could happen. This could happen. So in this scenario, I give Nevada to Biden. I give Arizona to Trump. But what Arizona is interesting, because you have Cindy McCain, the wife of the late Senator John McCain, who has come out publicly and endorsed Joe Biden and is now even a part of his transition team should he win the presidency. So the McCains obviously carry a lot of sway in Arizona. We'll see what that comes to. But nonetheless, in this map, I am giving Nevada to Biden. I am giving Arizona to Trump. Obviously, Texas to Trump. Florida to Trump. Georgia to Trump. North Carolina to Trump, Ohio to Trump, Wisconsin to Trump, Iowa to President Trump, Pennsylvania to Joe Biden, Michigan to Joe Biden, that one main district to Joe Biden, and the one district in Nebraska to President Trump. That gets you 269. And all hell will break loose across this country for who knows how long until votes are counted, until the Supreme Court hears it. Who knows what's going to happen? But this is a possibility, because Trump could most definitely win Florida, most definitely win Georgia, most definitely carry North Carolina again, could get Ohio, and could win Iowa. Even so, Nevada and Iowa both have 60 electoral votes. So they could switch. You know, he could send Joe Biden could send Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota with her Minnesota values down into Iowa, and maybe she helps flip it. But maybe Nevada flips too, because Hillary Clinton won Nevada in 2016. But it's six votes either way. So even if those were to flip, you would still have 269, 269. So it's quite possible and probable that Joe Biden will win Pennsylvania. I already put that in his corner. It's quite possible and probable that Joe Biden will win Michigan. So I gave it to him. But you can still get 269, 269. These are some toss-up states. And all it would take is one other state to flip for either person, and that's it in this scenario, because they're only one electoral vote away. I mean, even if Joe Biden or Trump should be able to flip that vote in Maine or that vote in Nebraska, that would be it. It would be 270 to 268. And that would be a civil war unto itself as well. This is a possibility. And I know it's hard to visualize it with me just talking about it, but do this. And I'm probably going to do a video on this as well so you can see it visually. But put this together and you're going to see, my God, this could actually happen. And then lastly, just another one that I strung together just to show sort of the importance of some of these states. This would give Biden 276, winning the presidency, to Trump getting 262. This would even be assuming that you give Donald Trump Nevada, Arizona, Texas, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, North Carolina, and Georgia. and the 2nd District in Nebraska. But if Joe Biden should carry Florida and Pennsylvania and that 1st District or the 2nd District in Maine, he wouldn't even have to carry that, but just giving it to him here, that would be it. 276 to 262. So that's how important these states are. So you are going to see these candidates focusing their efforts in Florida, in Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Arizona, and Nevada. So money walks, pay attention to the money, follow the candidates, see what type of surrogates they send out into these respective states, if it's going to be able to sway the election. Of course, I mean, 30 some odd days is a lifetime in the year 2020 in this political and presidential election. Who knows what type of you-know-what show could unfold in the town hall? Who knows what might erupt in the vice president debate on October 7th between Vice President Mike Pence and Kamala Harris? Now, typically, there's not as much weight on the presidential elections, no matter how they're hyped up. And that's going to be the case here, too. But, you know, if something drastic happens, that could have a little bit of sway. But it's really going to come down at this juncture to sticking to script and really having no major gaffes, no major faux pas, and trying to minimize or simply avoid any type of October surprise. And that's obviously for both campaigns. But right now, this is sort of steady as she goes for the Democrats and for the Biden-Harris ticket. I mean, there aren't too many scenarios that really look realistic in my view by playing with the Electoral College map that really gives Donald Trump that inside straight that he's going to need to pull out again in order to get reelected. And I think he understands this. His campaign understands this. And I think that's why he did what he did last night. I think it was an attempt to demoralize. He needs low turnout. This is why he is calling into question the electoral process, the voting process, which in and of itself is disqualifying on so many fronts. But you can understand, okay, if there's going to be fraud, yeah, if you can honestly identify, well, then of course, nobody wants to be defrauded out of anything. We understand this. That's reasonable. But the way that he harps on it, if you're in a position of power to do something to prevent it or to mitigate it, then stop your whining and bitching and do something about it, man. But that's not his MO. He wants to moan and complain. He wants to play the victim. That's his card. It's effective for him. It's effective for his base. It works. That's why he's doing this. Unless, of course, he doesn't want to win and he's just, you know, trying to be this goofball. And nobody can vote for it. I don't know if that's the case, but it's something I wanted to throw out and share with the audience. So that's the Electoral College map math. There are others, obviously, we could put together. And maybe when I do the video presentation, I'll throw a handful of other charts up there. But it's an uphill battle for Trump and Pence. So get ready for some nasty things to occur over the next couple of months. Again, disqualifying rhetoric, last night's performance, disqualifying rhetoric with the calling into question our voting system, disqualifying rhetoric really, I mean, this is really a no-brainer when it comes into the president not being able to commit to a peaceful transfer of power. That one really gets me going. I explained that yesterday, the whole George Washington thing. Understand your history. That's as American as it gets. For him not to be able to commit to that was just a disgrace unto itself, so disqualifying. It just sickens me. But that's who he is. And he doesn't care because he just wants to win at any cost. And that mentality exists within both political parties. And that mentality, along with so many other problems, the sociopathic tendencies, the narcissistic tendencies, and the psychopathic tendencies that exist within both of these parties, is destroying this country because people want power for the sake of power. It's not for public service. It's not for doing good. It's for serving themselves and their buddies. This is a banana republic. You just have to face up to it. Call your congressmen, call your senators, do what you got to do. But this is just disgusting. Civility is on the ballot, and I hope you make the right choice. Because this country can't tolerate another 4 years of these shenanigans. It just can't. And I hope you're honest with yourself about that. I don't like the fact that the president couldn't rise to the occasion either, but, you know, he's shown us who he is too many times. So shame on you if you continue to support him. That's all I have to say. Sad state of affairs it is. Electoral College Matt Math, hope you enjoyed some of that discussion. There will be more to come, and we'll do some more in-depth stuff as well, state by state, with some of the polling. We'll wait to get some more polls in as we get closer, and we'll have those discussions as well. Thanks for joining me. Please share, subscribe, get the word out, and leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.